This episode of The Boat Geeks is sponsored by The Boater's Guide, a free app for Pacific Northwest boaters. The Boater's Guide is adventure and information right at your fingertips, right when you need it. Find your happy place with The Boater's Guide, a free download on your phone or tablet in the App Store and Google Play.
On this episode of The Boat Geeks, we have Darren Austin from On Buoy, and it was a pleasure having another Darren in the studio.
Our 3D episode.
Absolutely, it was. And Darren has become a friend and a great person to work with. We saw him at the Seattle Boat Show, and what a great service he is providing to boat owners and buoy and dock owners.
Yeah.
In the Pacific Northwest. It's
he calls it a moorage community.
Perfect name.
Yeah. And, you know, for many years now, people have tried to do what Darren is doing.
Actually
right
doing.
Now. Yeah. And there have been many an occasion where I've been in a cove or a bay and looked around and thought, look at all those private buoys that are just
sitting there
unoccupied. If there was a way to coordinate with the private buoy owner and the boater, and Darren with On Buoy is doing it right now.
That's
right.
It's
a great story.
Yeah, it is an excellent story, and he was a great guest. So let's get right into it. Darren Austin from On Buoy.
From beautiful Port Townsend, Washington, a Victorian seaport on the Salish Sea, and recorded aboard the Motor Vessel Traveler, it's The Boat Geeks with Darren and Darren.
I'm daydreaming of a day.
Welcome to the next episode of The Boat Geeks. I am your host, Darren.
And I'm your other host, Darren.
And I am your guest, Darren.
Oh my gosh.
That's true.
This is
once in a lifetime. It'll never happen
this
again.
This is our 3D episode.
That is absolutely correct.
3D.
The three Durwoods.
I love it. Yes.
Darren Austin from On Buoy. We are going to get into your story very momentarily. But if you guys can do me a solid here, I don't know if any of you are familiar with the one of the oldest memes on the internet is the Spider-Man meme where there's three Spider-Men from different alternate universes.
Yeah, I think I know this.
Pointing at each other.
Yep.
And I think we need to have that moment.
I like it. So I like it.
Yeah. And yeah, there we go. All right, we're going to use that definitely.
Not only are we
promo.
The Boat Geeks, we're the Darren Geeks.
Yes,
the
we
Jared
are.
Geeks. 3D, I love it.
And I do have to say that, my apologies, Darren, but he does spell his name correctly.
Correctly,
the spelling you guys are using is strange. I don't understand it.
I don't know, man.
It's whenever somebody tries to pronounce my name, it's always Darren or Darion or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I always say pronounced like, and then I use your spelling because everybody gets that immediately.
Yeah.
So, okay, let me add a fourth Darren to the mix. So my wife's brother is also named Darren.
Whoa. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then fifth.
Yeah.
He is now deceased, but my cousin was named Darren, and he spelled it D-A-R-I-N.
Oh, wow.
My wife's brother's deceased, too, and spelled it that way as well.
I'm glad we spelled it our way.
There's a lot of synergy here.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. And we both know Grover.
We both know Grover.
I don't think that'll come up in the episode, but my wife knows what we're talking about. Well, Darren, we're very... This Darren, I'm sorry.
That's going to happen.
We're very happy to have you here.
Thank you guys for having me.
Yeah. So On Buoy. Well, first of all, before we get into your company and your app that you've started up, I would love to just hear a little bit of a background on you. And obviously we are the Boat Geeks.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Darren and I, this Darren, and I love boats. We love everything about boats. That's why our studio is a boat, and we're in the middle of a marina here.
Yeah, can you feel it rocking a little bit? It feels good.
It is awesome. Yeah. I love it. Do you have any history with boats? Why do you, Darren, love boats?
That's a really good question. So I actually have been on boats most of my life. My dad owned a boat when I was a young kid, and we went out as a family. As an adult, I've never actually owned a boat, but I've been one of these people that you always hear about. Like, the best thing you can do is have a friend with a boat.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I have had friends with boats, and so I spent a lot of time on them. And this idea of On Buoy came around from me being on the boat with them, you know, doing overnight trips or excursions or whatever we do, and finding, you know, I'm also, my background is an engineer, right? So mechanical engineer, and I've been in software and stuff, and I find problems and I like to solve them. They kind of get stuck in my head and I can't get rid of them. It's like a, you know, like one of those songs you can't get out of your head.
Earworm.
Yeah. Like I get something like that and I can't get it out of my head. And so, you know, when you're on a boat, anybody who's been on a boat knows there's no end to little problems that you can solve. And it's helpful to be creative, right? So
true.
Yeah. So I spend a lot of time on the water. You know, thought about getting my own boat. But I'd have to be not on my friend's boats. You know, we'd have to figure out how to trade that out. So maybe one day.
You know, the most affordable boat out there is called an OPB.
Okay.
Other people's boats. So you're on the right track.
I am down with OPB.
Yeah.
No question.
I feel like a song reference there. I feel like he is the wisest of the Darrens currently.
He doesn't own a boat.
But you do have two more friends with boats now. Mine's just a few slips down
Sweet.
There. You have two Darrens with that are friends with boats now. That's awesome. So you do have a boating background. And so what I'd love to know is that moment or what's created that little ignition of an idea for On Buoy for you? Like, can you remember when you thought?
Oh, 100%. The origin story.
Tell us about it.
Yeah,
the origin story.
So my two buddies, Ken Marco and I, were on an overnight excursion. I think we were going up somewhere to the San Juans. And I think it was day two. We had just spent the night somewhere. And I remember Marco saying, we were on his boat. And Marco said, hey, we got to get up early and get to the next destination because we don't have a reservation. It's first come, first serve. So we, you know, there might have been a hangover involved. There probably was. But we had to get up early and get going and hit the water and, you know, make it to this next place because we had to get a tie up. And we, in this case, I think we wanted to be on a ball, right? Mm-hmm. We didn't necessarily want to be at the marina. Or if we did, we didn't have a reservation. But so we're, you know, planning out trying to get to this next destination. And it's kind of loud. And I remember thinking, you know, over the hangover, this is not how I typically want to be boating. I want to relax. I want to, you know, do whatever. And as I'm looking over on the coastline, I just see, you know, private dock.
Oh yeah.
Mooring buoy. They're all empty. They were all empty. Now, I don't know, maybe the owners were out doing something on their own, or maybe they didn't have a boat, or maybe, you know, whatever. It's at the marina. But I started thinking when we got back to when we got to our destination, we started talking, you know, and you know, the day goes on and you start doing the hair of the dog. So we're drinking whiskey again. And we started talking about this. And I said, you know, what if we were under sail power? What would you do?
You want to take a
break and hit the head, maybe make a sandwich. You're not going to get there the same speed. And I said, you know, I would be more than happy. You know, if I could just tie up to this guy's ball, I don't want to squat. I don't want to trespass. If I could just find this person's contact information, I'd give him a ring and I'd buy him a six pack or whatever and just say, hey, you know, we just want to take a small break, make a sandwich. We're going to chill out. Do you mind if we tie up to your ball? And I said, how would you do that? You know, why couldn't you do that? So that was the earwig, right? That got stuck in my head is like, that seems like a good idea. So, you know, time passes and I couldn't get this out of my head. And one weekend I think we were out on the boat again and we started talking about it. And I said, okay, that's it. And I went home and I sat down and I just wrote out a business plan. I said, okay, we're going to figure out how to do this. And I started saying, okay, well, I don't know, you know, anything about doing this, right? I'm not an expert. So first thing I need to do is start asking questions. And so I started researching it and I found that there is a ton of problems that could use a good solution like this. One of the problems was environmental. Like there's nothing you can do. If you own a boat and you're going somewhere, you need an anchor, but anchors can do some damage. And you know, even if you're using it properly, I can't even tell you, but you know, 90% of the time we pull our anchor up, there's something on it, right?
Yep.
And that's something's usually living. Yeah. So, you know, you think like, you know, it'd be nice to not have to drop an anchor and setting it and all of that. And then you've also got that issue of, you know, people say nobody sleeps a good night's sleep on anchor, right? Mm-hmm. Tides come up, tides go down, anchors can get, can pull. And, you know, some really experienced boaters have told me, nah, I know what I'm doing. I don't worry about that. And I get it. You know, some people don't, but some people do. And so I thought, well, that's an interesting sort of a problem. And then I started, you know, contacting the DNR, the state DNR. And I started saying, hey, this is something I'm thinking about doing. And I'd love to get your perspective on it. And they said, well, you know what? We kind of have a bit of a problem. There's not enough moorage out there. And it's kind of hard to get permits. There's a lot of backstory on what's going on there. Mm-hmm. But, you know, not the popularity of boating has really exploded, mm-hmm. certainly since the pandemic. But what hasn't grown is the available places to moor. And you could probably find a slip in a marina, like if you just need a place to put the boat. But if you're traveling somewhere, guest moorage is scarce, right? Yeah. And so, and it's not a lot of new stuff coming online. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, well, hold on, this is interesting. We have a shortage of moorage. We have popularity of boating. We have some environmental challenges where we'd love to be able to tie up instead of, you know, dropping the anchor. It's sometimes easier to tie up a buoy, right, than drop anchor. Maybe there's something here. Like, maybe this can really be a win-win-win. And so I did a bunch of research. I had a day job, so I set this one on the shelf. And over the next 3 years, it just kept calling to me. It just kept saying, you know, every time I turn on Shark Tank, right, it's I see somebody getting a deal for an idea that I had 7 years ago, and I was too lazy to do something about it. And so this one kept calling off the shelf to me going, Shark Tank, Shark Tank, you're going to regret not doing this. This is a win-win. And so when I decided to change careers or leave the job I had, I talk about OnBuoy as being my fourth or fifth midlife crisis, depending on how you count. My wife might say it was my seventh, but, you know, I think it's either the fourth or the fifth midlife crisis. But I decided, you know what? I don't want to have the regret of not giving this a try.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I wanted to put it out there.
Good for you.
And so about a year ago, I started diligently going about, you know, building this thing out and decided to incorporate it as a social purpose corporation, which is not something a lot of people know about. It's not a nonprofit, but it's also not a for-profit. But it is sort of an entity that says, hey, we want to do some public good, and we're going to hold ourselves to that standard. So I did that and said, okay, let's see, how do we make this that it's a win for everybody? Well, boaters obviously are going to be happy. They got extra places to tie up. Let's put an environmental angle in this. Let's not only help people not drop anchor if they don't have to, let's take a portion of our proceeds and kick that to shoreline restoration, right? Because we could use more of that. So I said, okay, we've got that going. And then what do we do for the people that own the moorages, right? Well, it turns out those things are kind of expensive to maintain.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the problems that the DNR guys told me about was that they have difficulty with people that just have a moorage that don't use it. They also don't maintain it.
Sure.
Yeah.
So the tackle breaks away and it floats down and it starts getting caught up in wildlife or, you know, shipping lines, shipping,
or,
you know,
props.
Props. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
So what if we could give those folks an easier time of maintaining their moorage so that the equipment that's in the water today is healthier, it's more maintained, we can make better use of the resources we have so we don't have to put more equipment in the water. Like, sometimes you'll need to put more equipment in the water, but if you can better utilize what you got, that's a good thing too. So anyway, I started trying to say, okay, let's make this, you know, let's design this in a way that just would be the right way to do it. In a way that everybody can get behind, you know, whether you care about the health of the environment or your tribal member that is concerned about fishing rights and encumbrances, whether you are, responsible for natural resource management, whether you're a boater, whether you own a moorage, whatever your affiliation with, you know, our public waterways and boating, I wanted this to be designed in a way that people can feel like, yeah, this is something we can get behind.
Yeah.
And so that's what I've been doing.
So it's really a win-win-win. It's a win for the boater, it's a win for the environment, and it's a win for the people that own these moorage locations. And I can say for sure, my limited experience, you know, I haven't been a boater as long as Darren has, but I see empty balls and docks all the time.
All the time.
More often than I see with a boat on them, you know, and that could be for any reason. Like you said, they could be out right now, or they could not have a boat currently or whatever.
Yeah.
And you're right. Everything that is near the ocean water or seawater, salt water, is very difficult to maintain and expensive. So I think this is just a brilliant service.
That's why we're behind it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I like appreciate you said,
everybody
that.
Can get behind it, and there's no reason not to.
And the environmental aspect. Oh, yeah. We just had Bob Wise on, and a big part of what Arbaugh does is with the eelgrass, right?
Yeah.
And you know, that's what do they call that? Like the plains of the sea or whatever.
Oh, it's amazing. Yeah. I mean, the just the carbon capture.
The carbon capture.
That seagrass does is phenomenal.
Yeah.
And it's disappearing all over the world.
Well, you know, when I first started thinking about this, I had no idea of the importance of eelgrass. I knew what it was, but I thought of it as sort of seaweed.
Yeah, me too.
And I didn't think anything. I'm like, okay, yeah, this is the stuff that's on the chain when you pull the anchor up, right? Mm-hmm. Now, I don't think that I've ever anchored in eelgrass, but, you know, up until recently, I'm not even sure I knew.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. But when I started learning about this, and I started learning about bull kelp, and I started learning about the whole ecosystem from, you know, the little, the salmon fry and everything that are, you know, propagating in these eelgrass
beds. Dependent on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It just it has knock-on effects going down the chain.
All the way up to the orca.
All the way up to the orca.
Actually, you know, a lot of the people I talk to are fishermen.
Yeah.
And the fishermen actually knew about this before, before a lot of the boaters I talked to did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is amazing. And I feel like, you know, a big part of the work that needs to be done with restoring the grass around here is just education. Because as you just pointed out, you could live here. You could even be a boater and really not know much about it. And so what Arbaugh's doing, what you guys are doing, I just think it's great. It's educating Washington boaters and it's doing, you know, actual action to positively influence our waterways up here. And I love having guests where, like you mentioned, it's just a win-win-win.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed your origin story, and I could kind of relate to it because back in 2006, when my wife and I bought our sailboat, purchased it, we were living on San Juan Island. It was purchased. It was in Port Orchard at the time. And, when I brought it up, we weren't able to get a slip in Friday Harbor Marina, Warbass, Shipyard Cove, Roach Harbor.
Those are tough places to find.
Yeah, and we were living there, and I was talking about it like at the bank, and this woman said, "I heard you're looking for a place to put your boat." Well, we own a buoy that came with our house,
right?
And we don't have a boat. Would you want to rent that? And at that moment, I'm like, thank God, yes.
Yeah, right.
She goes, I don't even know how much to charge for it. And we settled on like $200 a month or something. Yeah. But this is 2006, and I'm going, man, somebody needs to make something that connects buoy and private dock owners with boaters looking for moorage.
Yeah.
So you've finally done it. And I do have to say that my wife was the advertising director for Latitudes and Attitudes magazine. And she just, when I was telling her that you were going to be on the show, she went back to her cards and pulled out this old card called Slip Finder. And it was somebody that was trying, that's gone. It's not, it doesn't exist anymore.
Right.
So what I would like to ask you is, knowing that other folks have tried this and they haven't necessarily succeeded.
Yeah.
What are you doing that's going to ensure that On Buoy actually succeeds and connects the boaters, dock, and buoy owners together?
Well, I think the main thing is, and this is something that's sort of personal and importance to me, I get really inspired. The reason I can get so into what we're doing with On Buoy is I get really inspired with these win-win-win scenarios. Mm-hmm. If you can create a scenario where everybody's involved is getting value.
Yeah.
And then you can make that sustainable from a financial perspective, right? Which means I am a for-profit entity. I need to be able to pay the bills and do the things that need, you know, hire the interns and all that kind of stuff. But I think the ace in the hole for On Buoy, or what I hope it will be, is this idea that there's something for everybody, that It's not just, I'll tell you, I had somebody tell me one time, like, oh yeah, like you guys are Airbnb, but for boat moorage. And I'm like, well, that's not really how I want to think about this. And it's not really what I'm trying to build here. What I'm trying to build are a community of people that care about boating. They care about the environment. And you get the boaters, you get the moorage owners that say, you know what, I'd be happy to host somebody. And you get the boater that say, you know what, I'd be happy to help you maintain that thing.
Yeah.
And the environmentalists say, yeah, we love that you're making more efficient use of the resources, and we're happy to use some of the proceeds to, you know, restore shorelines and stuff. So I think what I hope it to be is that win-win-win scenario. Yeah. I want to be able to, one of the reasons this kept calling off the shelf to me over the 3 years hadn't done it yet was I started thinking, like, you know, we all sit around marinas on the dock and we talk and, you know, drinking a beer with somebody. And I've probably sat and talked for 3 hours to a fellow boater about, you know, this guy had a really good source for like custom anchors. And he was all telling me about the shape of the anchor and how it's better. It works better. And I thought, that's really cool. And I thought, you know what? As boaters, we can sit around the dock and talk for 3 hours about anything. And if I could give people something that they feel they have a good experience, so that, you know, I want to make sure that anybody that signs up for OnBuoy has a great experience getting onboarded. I want them to trust the service, which, by the way, I didn't mention this. I should. The most important thing about what we're doing is we aren't just a place where you go list something for rent and then go away. And in fact, every moorage that we're going to put on OnBuoy is going to have a documented inspection report for structural integrity within the previous 12 months.
Wow.
So the reason I do that is, if you think about it, if I just did this thing and said, okay, well, yeah, we're just going to connect boaters and moorage owners, and like this example that you had, the woman that had that moorage off of her property, you probably want to know that that thing's structurally sound.
Oh, yeah.
And in your case, maybe you had a diver go down there and check it out or whatever. But like, if you're just stopping for a night on somebody's moorage and they're nice enough to offer it to you, that's great. But you kind of want to know, I mean, you know, the seas can get a little rough. The winds can pick up. You kind of want to know that you got something that is going to be safe for you and your family and your boat.
Well, as you mentioned, if you're on anchor, a lot of people don't sleep well. And I can totally relate with that experience. And that could also be the same for if you're on a stranger's buoy.
Absolutely.
You have no idea.
You have no idea. Yeah. And the other thing about that is, and the DNR educated me on this when I talked to them, there's a big problem with people that don't put in their moorage correctly.
Oh, yeah.
So, for example, the most egregious example that I had was, it's not uncommon for somebody to go to the junkyard, go get a Chevy big block V8,
that's right,
wrap a chain around it, drop it down there, no midline float, nothing like that, and that's what they put a ball on it, right? Mm. Oh, no way. You don't, you know, if I didn't insist on the inspection and having that documented, you know, technically somebody could do
liability.
That. I'm not going to do that. And you
know, supporting that kind of activity.
Yeah, I don't want to support that activity. Yeah. And the other thing too is, you know, anything can happen on the water, right? Yep. We're dealing with salt water a lot of times. It's corrosive. So yeah, you can never guarantee everything in the world, but you can do a whole lot to minimize the risk.
Absolutely.
And that's all, you know, that's what we try to do.
I think the comparing it to Airbnb for maybe a layperson makes sense, because what they're thinking is, you know, somebody who has a space, somebody who wants a space, and the simplicity of it. And I think maybe that's an advantage that you have over however long ago it was that Slipfinder existed, is that now we have technology that makes things a lot easier. More people are using apps.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, to your point, the win-win-win aspect is the strongest part of this. And you're doing, it sounds to me like you're doing everything right in terms of
trying to.
Yeah. And in terms of setting up this business, I'm very impressed with that.
Thanks.
And just like your experience, you know, when I bought my boat, mm-hmm. I couldn't find a slip.
Yeah.
I was very ignorant buying my boat. And we brought it out here and we were just anchoring out here for 3 months. Mm-hmm. On a waiting list here, hoping. We are on multiple waiting lists at multiple marinas. And that's there's a huge deficit of space in the Washington and Pacific Northwest.
Yeah.
And it was some of my most stressful time ever.
Yeah.
I only live 15 minutes away, but I was driving down constantly. And my boat did move,
yeah,
you know, on anchor. And I I mean, that was just horribly stressful. And in the midst of that, you know, there's
private docks.
Private docks
right
that are empty.
Yeah. Right.
Private docks that are empty. Yeah.
Exactly.
Private docks that, you know, there's some that have boats on them, but there's some that are empty.
Yeah.
I was just, I would be so envious, and I'm thinking, but you know, if I could just tie up for a little while.
Right.
You know, and I would have paid money and everything. Yeah. So that's, your service didn't exist. I could have totally used your service. And to me, that is representative of a very good business idea. You know, like when you can feel the need yourself and, and the, your origin story, you know, I think, you know, another app we know of had a similar origin story where there was an obvious need. And so I think that's great. I'm very hopeful and excited to see. And we will. We, this won't be the only 3D podcast. We will have you back and we will see the progress of this.
Yeah, because you're just getting started for the most part.
Literally just, you guys are some of the first people to.
I mean, we have, most of our viewers and listeners are probably Googling and going to, Anbui, what is that? So what is your elevator pitch, you know, to just succinctly describe what Anbui is so people get an idea?
We are a guest moorage community. That's what we are, and with an environmental angle.
I love the community aspect because one thing that I've found becoming a boater and being in, you know, around boaters for this long is community. That's probably one of the aspects of boating that I love the most is the community. Whether you're talking about a yacht club or just people at the marina, and you're right, you can just be walking along and start talking to somebody and 3 hours later, you're like, wow, you know,
and community is a really big part of it. And I do think, I hope that, you know, what we create is something that is vibrant in that way.
Yeah.
I mean, if you, you know, with the Airbnb comparison, the reason I don't like using that so much is because I don't view it as so much of a community as more as people just offering things.
It's kind of the opposite.
It's kind of the opposite. Yeah. In the knock-on effects of what that's done with different real estate is not something that people typically like, even if you're using it and making money off of it. What I'm looking for is a community of people that care about the environment, that care about the boating experience, and we can all have something to contribute.
I would argue that Airbnb is a win-win-lose. And so the people that are staying are a win, the people that are renting are a win, but the community often is taking the loss because
that's well said.
I mean, we all know, right? What Airbnb can potentially do, but I just don't see a downside to Anbui and a lot of upsides. And so, so obviously you're serving multiple areas, the environment, but like, okay, so you're a boater and you're interested in Anbui.
Yeah.
What is the easiest way for a boater to start using your service and find out what you're doing? Obviously you can go to Anbui.com.
Yeah. Yeah. Go to Anbui.com. We've got the boat show coming up next week and I'll be there.
We'll see you there.
I'll be at the boat show. Literally go to Anbui, B-U-O-Y, which, by the way, is tough to spell sometimes. The O and the U get mixed up. But I have them both, so one will redirect to the other.
Very smart.
I thought about that.
That was very smart, man.
I can't tell you how many times. It was months before I stopped misspelling that. But anyway, go to Anbui. You can sign up for free. For 2024, it's our inaugural year. I'm not charging any membership fee or anything like that as a boater. Eventually I think we probably will to be sustainable. One of the interesting aspects of it is there's flat pricing. A ball, a mooring buoy, $30 a night. A dock, private dock, $50 a night. Just keep it real simple.
Very affordable.
You know? And affordable. And
I would do it in a heartbeat.
Well, and it should be. It should be affordable. It should be easy. That's the one thing about the boating experience I think has been, it's sometimes a little challenging. A lot of things are really complicated.
And intimidating.
And intimidating.
As a very new boater, I mean, it's you're surrounded by old salts who've been doing this forever. But I find that even, you know, some of your old salts can.
We learn every day.
Yeah.
Every
there's always stuff to learn.
Every time. So you said challenges in boating. So you have kind of three challenges at this point. You've got just to get awareness for Anbui out there.
Yeah.
You also have to get private dock and buoy owners aware and signing up to make their properties available. And then you have to get the boaters aware so that they go and they start utilizing.
That's right.
So how are you prioritizing or addressing those major challenges?
Yeah, my number one priority is to get mortgages on the system. And I'll build on that challenge because I think once we've got mortgages out there, a number of them, and we have a few on there today, but they're growing every week. I think boaters will find it. I am dedicated to ensuring everybody has a good experience. So I'm confident we can do that. So I think the boater aspect of it will build itself.
Sure.
And we'll do word promotions at yacht clubs and marinas and work. But word of mouth is going to be great there. The owners are harder to find. Where do you go to find these people?
Where do you go?
It took me a while to figure that out, actually. And what I finally decided was, you know, I care about the moorages that are well maintained. So who's maintaining these? And so I started reaching out to the divers and the people that clean boat hulls and inspect moorages, right? And so at the boat show, I'll be there with Alpha Marine, Jim from Alpha Marine Installations. He does the helical screw, which is the industry, the best in class.
Yes.
And Jake from Northwest Moorage, also he and Jim work together. And then Chris from Dave's Dive Services, he's another great inspector out there. And then R&R Moorage up in the San Juan. So all of these are inspectors that I've reached out to and I said, hey, this is what I'm doing. A, the first question I ask people is like, I need your feedback. Tell me what I'm doing wrong. I want to make this thing better. And by the way, that goes to everybody I talk to is like the only way to make this successful is for me to not assume that I know what I'm doing and assume that there's always more to learn and that there's always ways to make it better. So I'm sure we'll change things over time. But I reached out to these guys and said, hey, here's what I'm doing. Is there a way for us to work together? And they all said, yeah, this is great. This is something that helps our business. It helps, you know, improve the overall health of the moorage network and the sound. We'd love to work with you. And they've been really gracious and said, we'll let our customers know. So right now, those you know, four divers and inspectors are actually letting their customers know, like, hey, we just got an inspection done. By the way, if you're interested, you can help offset some of the costs using OnBuoy if you're open to sharing. And we've gotten a pretty good response.
I would argue, depending on the spot, that it could not only offset the cost of maintenance, but depending on the spot, it could become a for-profit
situation.
It could
be a little revenue
I have to be a little careful. I have to be a little careful. I don't want to turn it into...
We're heading in the Airbnb direction.
Yeah, I've got to be a little careful about that. So really, in the stated purpose is, hey, if you could have a moorage that effectively was free for maintenance, wouldn't you do that?
Good enough.
Wouldn't you do that?
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. So when I visited the site, there's a section on there, if you do own a ball or a dock, to contact you.
Yeah.
And so I know that we have people that are going to be listening to the podcast that have one of those. And so I would definitely encourage them, go to onbuoy.com and contact Darren. Could you, I don't know if you want to do this or not, but would you be able to maybe highlight a couple balls or mooring spaces that you do have and
see? Yeah, so I've got, there's the one that I love to highlight because it's one of my favorite places to go is up on Lopez in Fisherman Bay.
Great spot.
It's a great spot up there. And actually, there's something, if you go to the site, you'll see there's a video that I've got on there about a mast buoy, which is not something you see a lot of usage in the Northwest, but it's really popular in the Northeast.
What's it called? I haven't even heard the
term. It's a mast buoy.
It's a mast buoy. It's also called a stick buoy or a pickup buoy. And if you think about if you line your boat up to tie up to a buoy, you're typically going to be hanging over the front edge, and you're going to have to hook that thing and bring it along. No big deal. We do it. A mast buoy or a pickup buoy or a stick buoy is kind of like what you would see off of a crab pot, right? Okay. It's a small buoy that hangs off of the main float, and it has about a 4 or 5 foot fiberglass pole sticking up it. And you basically can just come right up to the buoy. You're on the front. You don't need anything in your hand. You can use one hand to hold on. The other hand just picks it right up out of the water, and your tie up is like that. Cool. Makes it super, super simple. And we do a thing for the owners that have a moorage that they're adding. We're actually helping them upgrade their equipment. And I bought some of these mast buoys kind of in bulk, so I can give people a deal on these things. They can upgrade their tackles so that it's easier to use, it's safer, and this is the cool thing that I didn't realize was going to be cool, but I put a flag on this thing So you can easily identify it on the water. But the flag says two things. It says, first of all, private property, because there is a problem with people trespassing. And some people are real sensitive about it. Some people are not, but some people are. And even the people that are sensitive about it, like, I have no problem with somebody tying up. Just ask permission, man. Yeah. It's a courtesy thing. Yeah. So, you know, the flag says private property. And then it says to request permission to tie up, go here. And there's QR code. And they can just quickly request permission. Cool. It's a courtesy thing, you know.
Building, I love technology. Yeah. And I love seeing innovation in the boating community. And this buoy sounds super easy to use.
Yeah, and the flag, especially when you get towards the base of Fisherman Bay, there's a lot of private buoys.
Oh, yeah. Tons
and so
of them.
You see a flag or two, then you know
you can spot it
right where to go. So that's real helpful.
That is true. One of the challenges is, where am I at the right place? Yeah. Right. I mean, sometimes the markings are not legible or whatever. So this helps with that too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is very cool.
Mm.
So those are buoys. Mm-hmm. How are you reaching out or finding private dock owners?
That's a good question.
Yeah, so private dock owners are slowly becoming aware of this. So the folks that do the inspections on balls, typically they'll also do inspections and cleaning on docks and stuff, but they do that a little less often. Yeah. A ball, you really want to get inspected yearly if you're doing anything like, you know, loaning it and using it regularly. Docks are a little less frequent than that, but they're slowly starting to, you know, become aware. I'm actually hopeful that, you know, the presence at the boat show will get a lot more dock owners, you know, aware of what's going on. But there's a lot more questions about loaning out a dock. Like, well, I mean, do they have shore access?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
If I had a dock, I'd probably say, you know, no. I don't really need you coming on and taking a leak in my backyard. That's not really what I want.
Exactly.
So, you know, again, back to the community and the courtesy aspect of things. But dock owners have a few more questions. They're starting to become aware. I do have a couple in the queue that are, you know, that are going to put on board. We have not posted them live yet. I'm still requiring a structural inspection for a dock.
I am.
I know that you can look at a dock and see that it's okay, but I kind of want to make sure.
Hey, it gives an extra level of confidence to everybody, I think. And docks are expensive to maintain, too, obviously, even if it's not maintained as often or regularly. They're incredibly expensive.
Yeah.
So what we want to say, number one, if you have a dock, if you have a buoy, onbuoy.com and get involved. But also, if you're going to use this service, be a positive member of the community, be a good neighbor, be considerate, just like you would want if you were renting out your location. I think just simple manners goes a long way and will make this service better for everybody.
Yeah, totally. That's true of every aspect of boating, right? If you just, you know, give people the benefit of the doubt, that's actually an interesting thing, an interesting problem that I had to figure out how to solve is like, what happens if you go, you've got a reservation for this ball, you get there and there's a boat on it.
Oh,
what do you do? Well, that could be a pretty negative experience, but it doesn't have to be. And so, you know, we have sort of help articles and stuff. How, you know, what do we recommend? Well, first thing I recommend is give them the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
Right? They could be in
maybe
the wrong
place. Maybe they're just at the wrong buoy and they didn't know.
Could be the brother of the guy that owns it and he's tied up there.
Yep.
So, you know, don't be a jerk. Assume that this is an honest mistake.
Yeah.
Hail them, find out what's going on. Maybe you guys can go have lunch sometime or whatever. If you can't sort it out, don't make a big thing about it. Just take a photo of the boat with the registration, send it to us. I'll make sure you find another place to tie up. In the meantime, after you're settled, I'll take that photo of the boat. If there was a person being a jerk and they were trespassing and it wasn't, you know, legitimate, you know, I'll make a note of that. And that person, eventually, I really believe onbuoy is going to be something that will be, you know, prolific and we'll all appreciate.
Yeah. Cool.
Eventually that guy's going to want to use the system. He's going to want to join the community.
Yep.
And when that happens, there's going to be a reckoning.
Some karma. Right?
you're going to have some fees to pay and maybe a handwritten apology that's due to somebody. Right. So, you know,
now I noticed on your website, it said 24/7 support.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, my wife's not particularly thrilled about that, but yes.
You are a brave Darren.
Well, it's true, but like at the end of the day, this has to be it has to be something that we all trust.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be something that we feel like we've got a good experience. And by the way, let me just say for the record, I'm sure I'm going to screw something up along the way, right? I'm I don't I don't know what
it
is.
Are you saying you're human?
I might be. But, you know, hopefully there's enough good things that happen along the way where can get the benefit of the doubt. If something, you know, if I screw something up or, you know, don't pick up the phone at 3 a.m., which I probably would, you know, much to my wife's disappointment.
I can't imagine any boater, unless by freak of nature, you know, a gale and they're pulled off, you know, who's going to call you at 3 a.m?
Yeah.
You know, the normal moorage times, you might get calls.
And I don't mind. I mean, look, at the end of the day, at some point, you know, team's very small right now, which, by the way, if people are listening to this and you know somebody who's interested, a young kid, a student looking for an internship, I'm hiring.
All right.
So let's bring some help in. But eventually, you know, if this thing gets to scale, I absolutely anticipate having a 24/7 support line where if there's a problem, there's going to be a documented solution. Like, okay, let's make sure we get somebody situated and then get them okay. And then we'll deal with whatever other thing, whether it's damaged equipment or trespass or whatever it is. I anticipate having that where it's not just, you know, me and you know, maybe one other person there manning the phones.
So you're starting here in Puget Sound.
Yeah.
Salish Sea.
Yeah.
I sensed designs for maybe a national presence.
I hope so. I hope so, because the problem,
there's definitely a market for it.
There's a market for it. The lack of available moorage is not just related to the Salish Sea.
Of course, no.
And the environmental challenges are not just relegated to what we have here. Actually, for those that go down to British Virgin Islands and the Florida Keys, they have a lot of concerns about people anchoring with coral reefs. Yeah. They have whole sections that are no anchor zones. I want to say maybe the BVI, it might be like a no anchor zone around that whole thing. I could have that wrong. It might be, there's an area certainly around down there that is.
I can't imagine the damage that anchors would do.
Anagata.
To coral.
Yeah.
Well, and we're already facing a bleak situation with coral reefs around the world.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's a service. Obviously, again, it's just going to be win-win-win everywhere. Mm. And, you know, I wish you much success. A friend of mine always says, with success, many things are possible. Or no, I'm gonna repeat that.
I like the sound of it.
With success. Everything is possible quote.
Yes.
And I agree. I mean, like, and I would love to see you succeed and evolve and get more help. I think this is just a wonderful service, fully endorsed by the Boat Geeks.
Wow. Thank you. Yeah. That means a lot, guys.
Well,
really.
And it really is, because it's a win-win-win. I just see so many positive things coming out of what you're doing here.
Yeah.
And, you know, we will have you back.
Thank you. I would love to be back. Thank you guys for support.
Do a follow-up. Yeah, absolutely.
And the invitation. This is great.
Our pleasure.
Well, Darren.
3D.
That's right.
The 3D show.
It was great talking to you today, we hope you have a great rest of your week.
Well, thank you very much. I hope I can provide you guys with some guest moorage down the line.
Hey, there you go. I like it.
We hope we can provide you with some guests.
Yes.
And some moorage. So all of you, again, onbuoy.com. Check it out if you are looking for space to tie up. If you are got space to tie up and you want to make that a part of the community and help your fellow boaters in Washington, check it out, onbuoy.com. Darren, have a great day. Thank you.
Darren. I'm daydreaming of a day. I'm not wasting my time. Don't wait till I come alive.
myself, I'm not in this too deep. Sing hallelujah on the basement floor. Yeah, I'm still holding out for so much more. Yeah,
I'm daydreaming of the